two things. One, I took your recommendation at Brown Bag and got the teriyaki chicken and mashed potatoes.
And?
Very good.
Yeah, it's good.
Two, while I was there, like at a certain point, I went to the restroom. I was coming out of the bathroom. Well, you know that feeling when you're in the bathroom in a restaurant and somebody tries to open the door?
Yeah, it's
terrible. You hear the doorknob like, rattle and you're like,
everything relies on this tiny piece of metal. Did I do what I needed
did
to do?
Did I lock it?
Yeah.
Did it stay locked?
Is it because Starbucks used to not work?
Oh my gosh. Well, the Starbucks one in Oak Ridge, you would push the button and you couldn't tell if the button like was depressed enough to actually engage the lock.
Yeah, you have to then open it to check it, but then the lock is definitely not working.
Definitely not working.
Then you go again at just goodwill.
And you're like, oh, it just doesn't go in. It, you know, it just doesn't change that much.
Yeah. Okay. So you said two things initially. I interrupted.
Yeah. One, I tried the teriyaki chicken. Very good. Two, I'm in this moment. Somebody tries to open the door. The lock holds.
Nice. Whew. Crisis averted.
Yes. So then, you know, after like I wash my hands and everything, I open the door and the guy that was trying to come in the bathroom is still standing there. I'm like 85% sure it was Josh Heupel. Like 85%.
What does that mean? Can we break some things down?
You need to tell some listeners who don't know who that is.
Well, okay. Well, Josh Heupel is the coach of the Tennessee Vols
football team.
The best coach in college football. Secondly,
like better, like let's definitely just, better than like Mark Stoops or something like that.
Of course. He's definitely, let's be honest, behind Saban, the best coach in the SEC. All right. We'll give Saban that.
That's pretty easy to get.
Yeah. But otherwise, he's, yeah. But let's break some things down really quick.
Okay. By the way, Thomas stood up when I mentioned Josh Heupel.
My back's hurting really bad.
Either that or you're just really excited.
Both, but my back hurts. There's a certain posture you have to take when you're feeding your child, and it's like, your
shoulders are curled.
You become an armadillo of sorts, and your hands are right in front of you holding your child. Also, I've been up since 4, so I feel good right now, and it's 2 o'clock, so, So my back hurts all the time right now. It already did anyway. And then Potsy retired and he's like my masseur of sorts.
Oh my gosh. Anyways,
let's break some things down really quick. I don't know if I'm the only person who feels this way. If you say 99% sure, it's 100%. Right?
Yeah.
If you say I'm 99% sure, I'm
basically
with you
100%. It happened.
If you say 85, you're basically saying I'm 4% sure I saw this person.
No.
That's how I feel about it.
It's not 4%. It's not 4%.
That's how I feel about it.
In my language, if I was 1% sure, I would have said like I'm 12% sure it was Josh Heupel.
Okay, because to me, if anybody says anything less than 99, it's like you might as well not have said it.
If somebody said I'm 97% sure, then you're
97.
Like,
there's a lot of just in my experience, that number starts to go down because you start to unpack facts and then you're like, wait, now I'm 50, 30. Okay. Never mind.
It
didn't happen.
No, first of all, let's talk about the nerves of the situation. Okay. There's nerves involved. I mean, you know, again, lock mechanism, will it hold? You know, and then all of a sudden it's like, all right, it held. Okay. I'm kind of calming down from that. I'm going to go rejoin the guy that I'm having lunch with. Open the door. Like, there's like a real quick, I pass you, pass me and everything. It was like just really fast. Boom. And then all of a sudden the door is closing and I'm like, I think that was Josh Heupel.
But you didn't look again?
No,
I mean like the rest of the time you're at the restaurant, you didn't think I'm going to check.
I left like right after that.
Well, dude, that was worth waiting. But here's a good question. I like to call this the Russell Bivin equation.
Oh, wow.
Now you
have to unpack who Russell Bivin is.
Russell Bivin is a former local news anchor, which like...
Not a celebrity.
Not a celebrity. For Knoxville,
Some people think that local news anchors are celebrities.
Let's be clear, though. He now works for my former employer. Left the news to work for the people who used to
employ me. Not a celebrity.
Yeah, ultra not.
Like, a guy like Whopper would be like, wait, y'all have a gasoline division?
Yeah, whatever, Whop. But, like, he's going to hear this in 3 months and say, guys, I was catching up. Can't wait for that moment.
You guys have a petroleum arm?
But, no, like, but if you live in Knoxville and you hear the name Russell Bivin, you know, you kind of know, like, you're like, oh yeah, Unless you're someone who watches WVLT or WAT, then you're like...
I mean, if you say Matt Hinken, then I'm going to be like, yeah, that's a Knoxville. Yeah, Todd Howe. Yeah.
Okay, see, look, this, like, Knoxville.
What's the guy's name that used to do Heartland series?
Oh, I love Heartland series. Count me in anytime.
What's that dude's name?
He's awesome. It's tough. His voice is awesome. It's tough. A great voice.
This is a tough moment.
Okay, but Russell Vivian, local news anchor, and he, you know, our boss, I believe, talked to him next to at a urinal. Yes, they were peeing next to each other. So they, and Tom was excited, so he talked to him. That's my question. Like, does Josh Heupel fall on the Russell Vivian equate? Like, if he's going to the bathroom next to you, do you say, hey?
Yeah, but the thing,
like, where is the level of celebrity for that conversation to happen for you,
Josh? Okay, first of all, it's
like
it's
Harrison Ford.
You're talking to him. Yeah, yeah, but the couple of problems here: the physical space of the bathroom at, you know, Brown Bag Hardin Valley is a single use room.
Yeah,
so it's not like you have a couple of stalls where, you know, guys have that kind of. So first of all, we don't even have that. Operation.
It's not
option. No, but if we're at the movie theater and there's like 14 against the wall, mm-hmm. and Harrison Ford's there, then I'm going to address him. You know? Russell Bivin, I'm going to pretend I didn't see you.
There you go.
Okay. Josh Heupel, I would be like, dude, you cashed in, man.
Yeah, you're the best coach in the SEC.
Like, I'm so glad we didn't like wind up with somebody random.
Yeah.
You know,
somebody from Little Brother. Okay. My thing with celebrities, right? Like, they're normal people.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Right.
I don't like, I'm not going to cry if I see a certain person, but I'm also like, I'm not going to act too cool for them in the sense that, like, I'm not talking about Russell Bivin, but like, let's say Bono was walking down side of Gay Street and I was on this side.
Yeah.
I will run across traffic to say hey to him. Like, it's not like a,
hey, I'm not going to get this opportunity
cool. Like,
again.
Hey, play it cool. It's Bono. Yeah, like, why? I would never see him again. He's never going to see me again. Yeah, yeah. He's not going to remember me.
Jason Segel?
Same thing. Jason Segel, okay. One of the kindest actors out there. I would run across traffic to say, hey, man, I love you and I love you and How Much Mother. You're fantastic.
Right. Jimmy Garoppolo?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Because I have an old Young Life guy who's his identical twin. I basically have met Jimmy Garoppolo. Matthew Swagger and Jimmy Garoppolo.
I've basically already hung up with him.
Yeah. But do you, I don't know. I think you probably feel differently than I do. No, like, I have no desire to save face with any of them.
Yeah.
I have no desire to like weep and never wash my hands. I don't really care for an autograph.
Yeah.
I'm mostly just like, hey, I appreciate you for this. I think you're awesome. I'm going to shoot my shot. Would you want to get lunch?
Are you going to see Paul McCartney? If it was a Paul McCartney sighting.
I would run across the street and ask him to go get coffee. And like, worst case scenario, he says, no thanks, mate. And then walks on.
Right.
You know, like, I'm never going to see him again.
Yeah.
I'm not like, I have another thing that was the Smokey's 2001 incident.
Okay.
Or Smokey's 99 incident. That's what I call it in my head. And I had a home run ball hit to me.
Okay.
Like I did not have to move.
Yeah.
And I took one step to the right because I was a little bit afraid.
Oh.
And then six kids dove on it and took the ball.
Man,
so I missed my shot. At getting a home run ball.
We need to set some context. You were six.
Yes.
So like, I mean, 13-year-old Thomas gets that ball.
Yeah, I was in kindergarten.
You were six. Like, we can understand
but that. But I had a glove on.
Even so, bro.
Still.
Hey, I forgot to tell you this. This happened to me yesterday. I was at the high school. I'm a Young Life leader at local high school, so I go there.
Everybody's first podcast.
Yeah. Every podcast is somebody's first podcast. I don't just go to the high school.
Yeah.
I'm a Young Life leader at the local high school. I'm there hanging out with, you know, meeting high school kids and stuff. Dude needs a ride home. And so Nora and I are taking this dude home. He starts telling us the story about how he's a bodyguard for an influencer who's in the ninth grade at Oakridge High School. A guy has many, many tens of thousands of followers on TikTok, blue check on Instagram, and verified over 100,000 kind of deal. And he gets paid like if the kid wants to go to the local basketball game, he calls a couple of these guys and he's like, hey, I need you to bodyguard for me tonight.
I didn't know that is a thing.
I didn't either. I was just eating it up. I was like, this is an amazing.
That is amazing.
Like, yeah, the figure that this dude told me that this high school kid makes in a year off of YouTube and TikTok was obscene. I'm not saying I buy it. I'm just saying it was a fascinating conversation.
Wow.
And I wish you could have been in it because I think you would have handled it really well.
Wow.
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a podcast where we ostensibly talk about the scriptures a mere 11 minutes in.
Oh no. I think this is one of the ones that in the notes we should say, hey, fast forward to 11 minutes if you want content.
Would you take us to the scriptures?
Yeah.
Where are we headed?
We're going to be in Psalm 18. We may flip over to Romans 5, but
I think it's worth it.
I do like in light of the, our friends at Split Zone Duo, another podcast we like that it's a college football podcast, has nothing to do with the scriptures, but they have a saying that every podcast is somebody's first podcast.
And that's because one of the hosts is a comic book nerd.
Right. So if someone out there, this is your first time listening to our show, we usually banter for about 5 minutes to 7 to 8. Yeah. Not usually 11.
Not usually 11.
We don't prep this. So if you're like, man, nope. They made a long intro.
Did you say Psalm 18?
We're still going. Yes, Psalm 18.
Okay.
We're going to look at a thing here that there's nothing spectacular about it. It's probably going to take about 3 minutes, but I just had a cool moment today with this. And
it's rocking.
For the past, I've been going Psalm a day for 18 days now, I guess.
Nice.
So, yeah. That's why we're here. And on top of like, I've been kind of flipping through the epistles and just finished First Peter again for the second time this month, or in January, which,
wow.
I just enjoyed that dude. I think he's awesome. But I'm gonna look at one verse, and this is written by David. And if you, I mean, we'll unpack this a little bit more. But I'm just gonna look at this. This is the Lord has dealt with me. Verse 20. The Lord has dealt with me.
What verse? What verse? Okay.
Didn't you read the show notes? The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has rewarded me. Okay, so I had some pause when I read that this morning, and
right.
It's
clearly,
it's funny because it comes after a verse that we sing a lot in our church, so it's easy to like, it feels like it comes after a peak, so it'd be easy to miss it, which that's funny. It's a funny analogy, but like in my head, it's like, okay, there's the one thing I know that's coming that's really, really cool that I can always write down in my Bible and remember the rest of the day. All right, what's next? And then we have another little exit ramp before I get to the next one. And so this would be an easy one to pass over. But I had a moment where I thought about, I just paused on the idea of the Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. Now, if that is true in the sense that David is saying he dealt with me according to how I have been as a person, like my level of righteousness based on who I am as a person, David's in trouble.
Well, yeah.
And like we all are, but
and according to his behavior.
Yes. According to his behavior. Like if you read through some of the things we know about David and some of the ways he's acted, he was the word I used as we were walking to the studio, a scoundrel.
Yeah.
He was not, I mean, like, word. You know, he did some bad things. He was rough. He had some edges there in like, some of them are like unspeakable, but also like at the same time, I'm extremely grateful because I look at this verse and I realize that this must not be based on who he is as a person, which means for me, my righteousness, if it was based on my life and who I've been and what I've done, I'm in the same boat David would be in. Yeah. And he got some Psalms in the Bible, but according to Romans 5, that is not the case. We are declared righteous because of Christ, which I think is awesome. And I think that's what's obviously what's being said here. Like David has been declared righteous in God's sight. And because of that, and I asked this question in our high school group, probably 3 months ago, and your daughter Nora said a great thing. I said, hey, how would you describe righteousness? And she said, it just means that you're cool with God. Like y'all, you're cool. We're good. And I was like,
we have no beef.
Yeah, we have no beef. And I thought, that is awesome. Mm. And I can look at this and say, okay,
good word, Nora.
Yeah. If David is dealt with according to his righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, yeah, God has rewarded me. It's like, wow, there must be something bigger going on here.
Yeah, because we're talking about the hands of an adulterer and a murderer and basically like a mafia boss.
There you go. So like all those things are true about David, but because of his faith and his walk with the Lord, he gets seen as righteous and clean. And I'm like, man. And like, you know, this is like theology 101, but it was cool. It was just like a cool reminder for me this morning. Yeah. Like, okay, that's how the Lord sees me. I know who I've been, what I've done, what I've all just like, you know, lay it out there. And yet because of where I am with the Lord, where I stand with him, like I'm viewed as righteous. I'm viewed as clean. And I it's the simple truth of our gospel, but it was a cool reminder this morning.
Well, it's the magic. It's like, it's the magic trick of substitution. Yeah. Like, because this guy is the same person who wrote these words: blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and who, yeah, in whose spirit is no deceit. He said, I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Yeah. That's Psalm 32. But like, the magic of substitution is that, like, if you think about, like you go to, you go into class and the teacher says, all right, we're taking a pop quiz today. And you didn't know, and you didn't study the material, and you don't know it, and you get like a 0 out of 100. Mm. And then the kid sitting next to you gets a 100 out of 100, and then says like, hey, I know you weren't ready for this one. I'll trade papers with you. You write your name on mine, I'll write my name on yours. Don't worry, I'll pull my grade up. And like, you took credit for their answers. You get 100 on that test, even though you completely failed it. Right. That is like the most infinitesimal possible description of substitution. Like, yeah, literally Jesus got 100 on the test of a life of righteousness. I get 0. I got a 0 on it. That's like right. And so did David, and so did you, and so did everybody else, including that guy who may or may not have been Josh Heupel at Brown Bag and Hardin Valley. Mm. But like, everybody got a 0, and anybody that wants to can just right now change test papers with Jesus. Yeah. That's the magic of substitution. And so he can say like, look, you reward me according to the righteousness, according to my righteousness and the cleanness of my hands, because literally you, like, substitution is the substitution of the good news of the gospel is so complete that in the legal record of heaven, I got clean hands.
Yeah. It's cool. Yeah. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, wow, has done for us. Like, none of that is on, it's a cool thing because it describes us as being made right with God.
That's Craytown.
And, but it doesn't say because we have done blank, 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 or because we are blank, blank, blank. It says because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us.
Right.
Which is, it's awesome. And again, this is like bare bones 101 theology of whatever. Like, this is just, this is what we believe to be true of our faith. And if we were going to describe something to someone who's never heard this, this is kind of how we would say it, you know, in maybe a different way. But this is the truth and the good news of our faith. And it was just a cool reminder this morning to think, okay, this is true about David. Remember who he was and what he was like. Okay, this is also true about me. Remember what I was and what I was like and how there's nothing I could do about it.
Yeah.
Thought it was cool.
That's so awesome.
Thanks.
Here's something familiar from the Gospel of John in chapter 1.
Okay.
Jesus calls this dude Philip to be on his little, on his team, in his group of guys. This is the end of John chapter 1. Philip goes and finds his buddy Nathanael, and who in the list of the apostles is known as Bartholomew. And, you know, and he says, look, dude, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and as Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, this is verse 46. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. Which I love the come and see, because they're already talking like Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Jesus said to John and James. when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. And the thing that I just got hung up on this phrase, I saw you. Like if I use that phrase, like, hey, did you go to the basketball game last week? Yeah, I did. Oh, that's right. I saw you there. It's like, that just means like I clapped eyes on you for a second. I noticed you. When Jesus says the phrase, I saw you, there are layers of meaning in there. There's a depth that you could just delve down into endlessly. Mm-hmm. It's not just that he notices you. He knows you. He like in a very deep way understands you. He sympathizes. He empathizes. Mm-hmm. He has a sensibility for your perspective. Like he understands your motives. He knows your whole history. Mm-hmm. Like I saw you. Like for Jesus to see you is for the one who knows everything to say, I took some time to turn my infinite attention onto you.
Yeah.
And when I read that, it was just one of those things where it was like, all right, this is the moment I need to pause in.
Mm-hmm.
I need to hit pause and I need to just contemplate the fact that infinite attention has been turned toward me.
Mm.
And what's cool is he, like, just as we're saying, like with David or with you or with me or probable John Heupel, like Nathaniel was not a perfect person. He did not deserve to go to heaven on his own. He's not righteous on his own. He needed to be paid for by Jesus, the whole thing. But if you notice, what's so kind is Jesus immediately points out something cool about this guy.
Hmm.
Like I have turned my infinite attention to you. And can I just say in front of everybody that I love this about you? And he points out something positive about this dude.
Yeah, it's cool.
I don't know if I'll ever get over that.
Yeah, that's
like
really cool.
The kindness of the infinite attention centering in a public way on something positive about you. Okay. Like that is so generous and it's so ludicrously freeing.
Yeah.
That the person who understands me, the person who knows my entire history, the person who understands everything about me, including my motives, including all of my funky attitudes and all of my disobedience and all of my everything, instead of calling out what needs to grow in me, instead of calling out like what is disappointing in me, immediately and publicly says, hey, can I tell you something I really like about you?
Hmm.
You're really devoted to this, to your walk with God, and you're honest about it.
Yeah.
You're like, what? That, and I don't know what the thing would be for me. Like if Jesus was to publicly say, hey, I saw you. And then I would be so nervous. Like, what are you going to say?
Hmm.
And then he would find something kind and something generous and something loving and sweet. And I think that anybody that's listening to this should just take a moment, take a beat, grant the premise that that would be true of you too, and enjoy the sweetness of that.
Yeah. I love John chapter 1 for like a lot of reasons.
Anyway.
Yeah, just for a lot of, like, okay, so let's look back at like red letters here. The first thing Jesus says is he asked, what do you want, to two of John's disciples who just leave John right away. And like, I guess a lot of people assume one of those is John the apostle. And because at this point, Jesus has five disciples between this and John.
I said James and John, it was Andrew. And James, sorry about
you're
that.
Good. No, I thought it was, anyways. Okay. So he says to them, what do you want? Come and you will see. And then, like the next thing he says is something to somebody specifically, and that's Peter. And he calls him Cephas, which like whatever. But when I look at this, and like he doesn't turn to Peter and say, what do you want? But when I think about this the rest of the chapter, just the idea that that's what's going through Jesus' head right there, and that's how he responds to them.
Yeah.
And he gives Peter such a specific name. And then you scroll down and he says this thing to Nathaniel that is so, it doesn't make any sense. Like in our context, like if you saw me, like you said the basketball game thing, like if you, whatever the thing was, if you saw me and the first thing you said to me is, here is a true East Tennessean of whom I can't put any blame on, I would just be like, cool, thanks. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
But like when you think about whatever that means for Nathaniel, I think it was something extremely personal that like Nathaniel would have known differently in his heart. Just like I think with Peter.
Which like, explains Nathaniel's response.
Right, exactly.
Which is so like, extremely effusive. Yeah,
it's crazy. And like same thing, like we don't see Peter's reaction to this. I can only imagine if Mark wrote down this account, it would be something like maybe not with Mark, but if we had Peter directly and said, what was your reaction?
He'd be like, I literally went out and got a tattoo.
Literally. Cephas. Yeah. That's exactly what Peter would have done.
It's just what I did most after
over
dinner.
The top thing. And I think John probably, I mean, we don't know why John left it out, but it feels like it makes sense that he did. But I love that in John chapter one, you have two really cool moments where he looks at two people and does something extremely personal that I think is something so much deeper than what we can see. And it goes along with what you're saying, but to think about the Lord's knowledge of our heart and who what he really knows about us and what we really are looking for, it's so warming. It's so inviting. It's so kind. It's so everything. I mean, like, I don't have anything but really cool things to say about it. And it takes me somewhere. It takes me somewhere emotionally. It helps me unlock a place in my spiritual walk to think about, like, okay, I can't technically insert myself here, but this is going on all the time. And he knows things about me that nobody else does. Mm-hmm. He understands things about my heart that nobody else does. He has things he wants to say to me that no one else would understand if they, like, I don't know what, you know, like I have a thing in my heart that if I was in Nathaniel's shoes, that if Jesus would say this sentence to me, my response would be like, how do you know me? What? That's, you know, with tears in my eyes. Like,
right.
We all have that thing. And I think it's really cool to think about that.
It is. It's just so, cool. It's so cool that he goes out of his way to be, like you're saying, extremely personal, extremely intentional, and extremely kind. And that is it's just an encouraging and a rewarding thing. And to set your hope on it and to decide to believe it a lot today, I think makes a difference with how you approach the Lord and what you think about him. Mm-hmm. Because he is like, he's just extra. Like, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to point out something so kind, but you're extra in a really, really cool way. And that's so cool.
That's cool.
Today's podcast has been brought to you by Josh Heupel, head coach of the UT Volunteers football team. Do you think he listens to the show?
I know who doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah, no joke.
Yeah, he'd be a much better coach if he did.
Everybody knows it. People have been saying it for years.
Yeah, Mark Stoops, you should listen to Ancient and New. Your team would be so much better.
I mean, everybody sees it. Everybody's saying it. Guys, thanks for listening to the show. You hit him with a quack before the end. Just a My name's Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
You're better to me than I am. You love more than I could. I'm the book you just can't put down. You're working for my good. I know I'm always falling, but you're patient all the same. And it's your tenderness that's calling me to walk in. I want the good that you have planned. that you promised to give. And I want the good that you have planned.